I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT Timmons.
And we are here with an episode about haunted Louisville.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo-woo.
Kentucky.
Yes. Kentucky. Yeehaw. Yes, if you didn't know, we're going there. So
yes,
we're going to Waverly Hills next month on April 24th. So it's going to be a very fun and horrifying time, I'm sure. There's a body shoot and there are lots of creepy ghosts.
It is a gigantic facility. So we will be spending the whole night exploring the shadows and crevices of a old health sanitarium.
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I just ordered two cameras, one for Chris and one for Madison. They're going to be worn on their chest. So we're going to have a Madison and Chris cam.
Oh, from boy. Our point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like an Axon body cam.
Honestly, it's...
That's the vibe.
Yeah.
That's the vibe.
I mean, that might be helpful because if we do run across something, you know...
Yeah. You want as much evidence as possible.
And I want y'all to be able to just roll when you want to roll.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So that's going to be cool. Yeah, and I would imagine, too, body cams probably have pretty good low light capabilities because, you know...
This one does.
Yeah.
The Osmo Action 4.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be doing all sorts of crazy things in Waverly Hills. And we're bringing the Ghost Brothers, so you know they're going to have a field day in that
yes,
place.
Yes, they will.
So it'll be a good time for all. But today we're going to talk about the other hauntings in Louisville because, as JT and I like to call it, it's dummy haunted.
Dummy.
This is a new phrase to me.
Well,
is it?
Yes. This morning was the first time I've ever heard anyone use the
dummy?
Term dummy as very as
Yeah, like dummy
like,
thick.
Like stupid.
No. Well, so that's what
stupid
I figured
dummy
it was.
Thick.
It was no. Dummy is new to me.
Dummy's new. Okay.
Well, there you go.
All right.
I'm not with the cool kids lingo.
I don't think that's the cool kids lingo at all.
It's not. I think we're actually quite outdated by the, I'm sure the Gen Alphas that might be listening to this are like, ew, cringe.
Ugh. Yeah.
But
watching it on their iPad though.
Jeez. Well, anyways, so yeah, we're going to be talking about that. So that is why we're not including Waverly Hills in this episode because we're going to do a breakdown of that in April.
Yes, we are.
And so, yeah, this is just the other creepy things that are happening
things around Waverly Hills.
Yes. Before we get into that, though, we have a couple new pair of junkies to thank. So we want to thank Steph B, Linz, Enica, not our Eni, but a different Enica.
Cool.
I've never met another Enica.
I've never either. The Silver Linings Handbook and Sheila. So thank you guys so much for listening and becoming para junkies.
Sheila's watching live right now.
Yep. Oh, she is?
She
nice.
Is. So, Steph B.
Yep. Hello, Sheila. But yes, and hello, Steph. But... Yeah, we're doing some new things over on Patreon, and one of them, including 30 minutes before we start filming, we often already live stream, but now we're making it a thing so that for 30 minutes of the live stream, we're calling it The Fix.
The Fix.
For our para junkies.
For our para junkies. Yes.
Wink, wink. Yes. Nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes. And so, so we're calling it The Fix. And basically, it's 30 minutes to discuss any new haunted things that we're into, true crime things, Q&A with the para junkies. So we have a chat now on Patreon that is just for the fix. So if, you know, they come up with any questions throughout the week or in between filming times, they can just drop it into the chat and we can discuss it on the next one. So the next fix that we're going to be doing, if you're into things like this, if this is your call to the para-junkie side, we're going to be doing a kind of a breakdown of the evidence that we found at the Texas killing fields, which we live streamed for the para-junkies, which was super interesting.
Yes, it was.
We got some really compelling evidence. It was a very chaotic and sad Estes method, to be honest. But there were some things that we wanted to look up because they were very specific responses. And so we wanted to see if it correlated with any of the victims that are known, at least, at the Texas killing field. So we're going to be discussing that in the next fix. But
the next fix.
In the next fix. But yes.
Oh, we just had our first fix, and it was awesome. It was lit. It was such a good
fix. It was such a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
I feel reinvigorated. I can't wait till I get another one. When's another one? When's the next one? Come on.
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again right now.
Euphoric. Enlightened, if you will, from this fix. But yeah. God. If we're going to get canceled, this is how we're going to do it. You know, it's y'all named yourselves, though. So we're going with it.
We're just playing into it.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
But enough of that, though. Enough of the innuendos. We're going to go ahead and dive into Haunted Louisville. So let's start it out.
Let's do it.
So Louisville, Kentucky is steeped in haunted lore, particularly in its old Louisville neighborhood, which is known for its Victorian architecture. This area is one of the largest Victorian neighborhoods in the country.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is super cool. I'm very excited to see it. I love Victorian houses and stuff. If anybody has a Victorian house, send it to me because I am super, I just love seeing them. This area is also believed to attract paranormal activity due to its historic stone and brick buildings. So here are some of the notable hauntings. Now, some of them are going to be a little bit of an overview just for time's sake, because the last one is quite thick.
Dummy thick.
Yeah, honestly, listen, y'all, because I know some of y'all are from Kentucky. You're probably going to be like, that's only one story from Old Louisville. When we get to Old Louisville, we could honestly do a whole episode just on that neighborhood, because it's like thick story after thick story after thick story. And I just picked one that I thought was interesting. Now, the rest of them, though, are very interesting as well. So the first one we're going to talk about is the First Church of Christ Scientist, which I think is like Diet Scientology, from what I can tell. basically, it's what it feels like. Sorry if you attend this church, but that's at least what it feels like. We're not going to go into their beliefs, but they do have a ghost, so which is interesting. It is haunted by the Lady of the Stairs, who is a young woman who tragically died from flu after waiting for her fiance, who never showed up. So here's the ghost story. Now, basically, the ghost of the First Church of Christ Scientist in Louisville revolves around the apparition known as Lady of the Stairs. This spirit is said to be a young woman who paces and cries on the church steps.
Ooh.
Local lore identifies her as Miss G, believed to be linked to the Gathrights, a prominent family in the early 1900s Louisville.
The Gathrights.
The story goes that she fell in love with a soldier, but her father disapproved of the match. The couple planned to elope and chose the church steps as their meeting point. Tragically, the soldier, believed to be Herbert. Yeah.
That looks like a typo.
Herbert.
Or Hebert.
Hebert or Herbert, whoever. Fullerton Dixon died of pneumonia before their planned elopement, leaving Miss G waiting in vain. Overcome by grief and the cold, she contracted the flu and died shortly after. Or she died of a broken heart. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Classic story.
To this day, her spirit is said to linger on the church steps, still waiting for her beloved.
Aw.
It's interesting. Sweet. I think church step ghosts are a thing.
Really?
Ghosts on the steps to churches are a thing because many ghosts will not enter a church because their belief structure keeps them from entering the church out of respect because they feel cursed or damned, but they're at the church hoping for plenary indulgence or some kind of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I have heard stories of ghosts on like the front steps of churches reluctant to go inside where they believe salvation is, but also fearing judgment. So, you know, because as a ghost and in a lot of faiths, a ghost is a bad thing.
Right.
You know, so imagine, you know, being a ghost with those conflicting faith, you know,
right.
beliefs and wanting salvation, but not being able to go to the one place where you can get it.
That makes sense.
Wow.
That makes a ton of
Love
sense.
That.
But it feels like a very classic ghost story, oh, which yeah. is.
Absolutely. You know, this is a textbook ghost story.
Yeah. And so at the First Church of Christ Scientists in Louisville, visitors and locals have reported sightings. And she is described as a distraught young woman in a white gown pacing or crying on the church steps.
We kind of have one of those. Alice Riley.
A little.
To a degree.
Although this is a woman in white.
Yes.
Classic ghost, woman in white, oftentimes seen distressed.
Yeah.
You know, usually on the streets. The hitchhiker ghost is almost always a lady in white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you find ladies in white, they are oftentimes precursors to some kind of mishap in your life.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Although we do have a lady in white at Moon River who's interestingly on an upper floor, but probably from when it was a hotel.
Hotel, sure. Mm-hmm.
And
she did not push Zach Bagans down the stairs.
She did not. She did not want to. If you've ever watched that episode,
Go do it.
It's
so freaking entertaining.
Well, we don't endorse what he did. But it was so interesting, though, because, you know, Lady in White is usually a spirit that is not malevolent at mm-hmm. all. Just kind of there.
Well, even at Moon River, because there's a... The Lady in White is linked to a man.
Yeah.
There's a couple. So the lady in white, and most people imagine that we're talking about a bride and groom.
Right.
And more than likely not a bride and groom that died there as bride and groom, just yeah. they returned to the place of happy memory or happy, because she's usually denoted as kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's not, mm-hmm. you know, she's not going to attack you. So yeah, it's weird to have anybody like assume that just because a ghost is present, they're also malevolent or mm-hmm. angry or mm-hmm. Most people aren't. Most people aren't. Don't walk around all day long malevolent and angry.
Yeah.
It was fascinating with that episode because he was basically trying to get her to push him down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And they got an EVP of a woman saying, I don't want to.
Yeah.
She's like, please, no. No.
Yeah. It's the only show that makes you feel like you're wearing an affliction shirt when you're not wearing an affliction shirt. I swear.
That's true. Ain't that the truth?
We'll save our commentary for
for
another time.
For the fix.
For the fix, yeah.
Yeah.
But, our private thoughts are private.
Yes. But regardless, though, if you haven't watched that episode, it's entertaining.
Yes.
For other reasons. But yeah, so the next one is the Seelbach Hotel. Now, we actually
heard of that
because we met somebody who heard that we were going to Louisville and they're like, you have to go to the Seelbach because there's a man there who works there in some capacity. I don't really know what his exact job is, but he also runs ghost tours at night at the Seelbach.
There you go.
Okay. Of the hotel.
Dope.
And so, yeah, she was like, it's super creepy. It's very fun. So, yeah, so the Seelbach is kind of known for, they have some other spirits, but they're known for their Lady in Blue.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Okay. Who is believed to be Patricia Wilson.
Patricia!
Patricia! And so probably arguably the most famous resident of the hotel is the Lady in Blue, who is one of the reasons why a lot of people flock to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There are various stories attached to this ghost, as with every ghost in a haunted town. There are just some spirits that just kind of are the dumping ground of ghost stories.
Yeah.
You know, like we have our, you know, our dumping ground of ghost stories with 432 Abercorn Street, sure. With, you know,
Colonial Park Cemetery.
Even 1790 collected yeah. a bunch of different stories. Yeah. that all became the lore of the place.
Exactly. So poor Patricia, she is one of those. But yes, now it was in 1936 when Miss Wilson moved to Louisville from Oklahoma. She had recently separated from her husband of 4 years. In an effort to work things out with her husband, they both agreed to meet in Seelbach. However, her husband never showed up. He was killed in a tragic car accident.
Very familiar. Mm-hmm. Didn't the previous ghost's fiance die tragically before their meeting? That is a classic.
Oh, yeah.
A classic ghost story hiccup.
Exactly. So he was killed in a tragic car accident on his way to meet his wife. She was devastated by the loss, and after a short time, she was found at the bottom of a service elevator shaft.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So people cannot agree if she jumped to her death or if she died by accident. A lot of people like to say that she was pushed, but that would be bizarre.
Yeah, that's super bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, so a lot of people do. There's nice very jump. Yeah.
Makes sense.
That would make more sense.
How the hell else do you fall down an elevator shaft?
It opens, it's not there, you step down.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's the classic accidental falling down the
elevator
shaft.
I guess they didn't have iPhone flashlights back then, huh?
Nar. But yes, so she was devastated by the loss, and so that was how that went for her. But in 1987, particularly from what I've read, is that was the year people were seeing lots of Patricia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was some kind of anniversary to it.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. So several people reported seeing Patricia Wilson in the hotel. Some claim to see her on the 8th floor of the hotel, while others claim to see her on the hotel's mezzanine. However, all the guests agree that the woman they saw wore a blue dress and had long black hair.
Ooh.
Creepy.
That is creepy.
Mm-hmm. So, aside from the lady in blue, the hotel is also home to various other ghosts. A staff of the Auto Cafe reported seeing an old woman in ragged clothes standing behind the mirror.
Nope. Don't want that.
That's a big nope.
Hang on.
It's true. That's just horrifying. I don't want to see any old woman in ragged clothes, let alone behind the mirror. So I'm like,
I don't want to see anyone behind the mirror.
Yeah.
No behind the mirror people.
And a part of me wonders, a part of me is like, did they see them? Because that's what it said, behind the mirror. I'm like, were you looking into the mirror and it was standing behind you? Mm-hmm. Was it no reflection of yourself? And only
did
her
have his hands around the corner of the mirror.
Exactly. Ooh, yeah. That would be,
and that's so, what I enjoy.
Yes. But yeah, so she's there too. And the employee turned to talk to the woman. Oh, so, okay. Yes. So she was,
So he saw her in the mirror behind him them and turned to speak.
Uh-huh. And so the employee turned to talk to the woman, but she has already disappeared.
We had a ghost like that in, the old 606 cafe down on Franklin Square. There was a long mirror right outside of the bathroom. And when people would walk out of the bathroom, they'd see this long mirror and they would see a woman standing. So they'd see it in the mirror. But when they turned, there's no one in the hall constantly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's creepy.
Super.
After that, I need to sit down and reflect.
That was for the pun.
Yes. Boo. Exiled.
Exiled. I haven't been exiled in a while. I thought I was doing pretty good.
No. Anyways. So in 2004, a couple who was on their honeymoon booked a room on the 8th floor of the hotel. They awoke to find a man standing by the window and looking out. Absolutely not. No men in the room. No men. That's just creepy. You don't want to see anybody in your hotel room when in the middle of the night. That's horrifying. The room was also strangely cold, and immediately after they turned on the light, the man disappeared.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Other guests have reported smelling a faint scent of perfume and hearing disembodied footsteps. Those are also classic, hotel ghost sort of encounters.
Ooh, absolutely.
Smelling a perfume.
Perfume, cigar smoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cigar smoke.
Yep. Those are always the classic, residual hauntings, especially with Victorian ghosts and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. There's very few places that tout themselves as haunted that don't also have those perfume and cigar encounters as well.
Yep.
Almost every house that's haunted in this city that's from that era have the same thing.
Yeah.
So I
smell lavender. Mm-hmm. Mercy. Mm-hmm.
I always love telling the story about the woman who was on my tour in the Andrew Lowe house who smelled the perfume on the staircase. And when we asked her what it smelled like, she was like, cheap.
Yes.
Yes.
Go right for the jugular. These ghosts are tacky.
Tacky.
Cheap. Is Chanel number two?
More like Bath and Body Works. Anyways, but yes. All right. So the next one that we're going to be discussing is the Bell of Louisville. And that is spelled B-E-L-L-E. Not
the bell.
Not like a ding ding bell, but like a southern bell.
Southern bell.
So a historic steamboat. Because they love naming boats after ladies. So a historic steamboat is haunted by Captain Ben Winters and a deckhand named Floyd.
Hmm. Oh. Okay. So, it's nice that he's got company.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just this lone captain.
Longing for the open Ohio River.
Right. He's just like, Floyd, get over there. Fix that. Do this.
Do this.
Swab the deck.
Squab the deck.
Squab it.
Squab it.
So it's docked along the Ohio River near downtown Louisville. And in this paddle wheel steamboat dates to 1914.
Wow.
When it was originally named the Idlewild.
Oh, okay.
Ah, the Idlewild. I like it.
The boat was renamed the Avalon in 1948. And in 1962, it was purchased by the city and renamed once again, this time to the Bell of Louisville.
Okay. The Bell of Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that sounds about right.
There you go.
Because, you know, if you're like saying that this is like your city boat and stuff, the Avalon doesn't make a ton of sense.
No.
But yes, yeah, so through the years, the boat has developed a reputation of being haunted, especially by those who have worked on the boat for any amount of time. The Bell of Louisville has been the site of several deaths, including that of the captain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which would make sense why he's still haunting it.
Sure.
So in 1948, Captain Ben Winters suffered a fatal heart attack in the wheelhouse and died shortly thereafter in the captain's quarters. According to a former employee of the boat, on at least two separate occasions, workers have died in both the engine room and near the paddle wheel.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. One was crushed to death when machinery was turned on accidentally, and another died when the paddle wheel was inadvertently placed into motion while he was performing routine maintenance in the area. Those are horrifying deaths. But paranormal activity has been reported in these areas by longtime workers, and many of these events are said to take place in the early morning hours when the boat is nearly deserted.
Okay.
Which I guess would make sense, because that would be the time that, you know, employees would be like, you know, deckhands and things like that would be working. So it would make sense.
There's a lot of energy going on.
Yeah. So according to former employees of the Bell of Louisville, newly hired workers are advised of potential paranormal occurrences aboard the boat. They are told they can talk about what they see or hear amongst themselves, but that no official record of such an event will be recorded in the log for fear of driving away the public or having government...
driving away the public.
Or having government funding revoked.
Wow. That makes sense.
Therefore, any official statement regarding a haunting or paranormal activity aboard the boat has never been released to the general public. So one former employee of the Bell reported that he was alone in an office late one evening completing some paperwork when he had the sense that he was being watched. He had looked down to file some papers into a nearby drawer, and when he looked up again, he claimed he was looking directly at the late Captain Ben Winters. The encounter lasted several seconds before the apparition faded away. During that time, the former employee said he was paralyzed with fear and could not take his eyes off of the ghost. Probably because he's like, oh my God, there's a ghost.
Ghost.
A ghost. The same employee stated that the late captain was also has also been seen in the wheelhouse where he suffered his fatal heart attack back in 1948. The next place we're going to talk about is Cave Hill Cemetery, which is the largest Victorian era cemetery in the U.S.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Which I would like to go see that.
We should visit it.
Yes.
We should.
So Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville is known for its paranormal activity, including sightings of glowing green orbs hovering over headstones and experiences of sudden cold winds and disembodied whispers. This historic Victorian-era graveyard, established in 1848, is the final resting place for many, including Civil War soldiers. Also, Muhammad Ali is buried there.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm.
The combination of its storied past and the reports of these mysterious phenomena contributes to its reputation as one of Louisville's most haunted locations. Anytime you have a cemetery, they're going to say it's haunted.
Yeah.
I think the most compelling thing, because people don't see like figures, like apparitions in this space. What they see are these orbs, which I find compelling because they're green orbs. Because when you are looking at, you know, orbs, the different colors mean different energies. So oftentimes the most common are white orbs or blue orbs. White are usually oftentimes associated with children because it's the purest energy. Blue oftentimes are considered more malevolent, or not malevolent, excuse me, benevolent energy.
Okay.
And things like that. Green is interesting because that's kind of a murkier energy in a way. I would say it's probably coming from, you know, either spirits that are, or people who maybe did some darker things in their life and it kind of murked them up a little bit. But otherwise, just weird, weird haunting. Don't usually see that a lot. So interesting. The next place is Louisville Palace Theater.
Okay.
Because, of course, every theater
is haunted.
All theaters are haunted. And this one actually will remind you a bit of the Savannah Theater because of some of the ghosts here. It is home to several ghosts, including a former chief engineer named Fred Frisch and a faceless woman.
Oh, the old faceless woman.
Mm-hmm. So, originally opened as Lowe's Theater in 1928, the theater is said to be haunted by several ghosts. Some are seen as apparitions in the balcony area, including a man in 1930s garb who disappears when approached. In the mezzanine lobby, a faceless woman in 1940s clothing has been seen climbing the stairs.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Stair ghost. Classic stair ghost.
Yep, but I want her to have a face. I don't like that she doesn't have a face. In the restroom beyond the ladies' parlor, the sound of a young child giggling has been heard.
Oh, boy.
And however, the most well-known spirit that haunts the Louisville Palace Theater is Fred, the former chief engineer from back when the theater was known as Lowe's.
Okay. Kind of like the director.
Kind of.
Yeah.
In 1965, he actually died of a massive heart attack in the basement of the theater, where he had been working for nearly 40 years.
Wow.
Jeebs.
He is seen all over the building, dressed in his uniform and a flat top hat. Those who have seen the apparition have confirmed via photos of the man during his life, and this is indeed Fred Frisch. He is most often encountered making his rounds in the evening. Though on one occasion during renovation work, of course, he apparently saved a construction worker's life by waking him up just before he fell from the scaffolding where he was napping.
Oh. Napping on the scaffolding.
Yes.
Safety tip, don't sleep on scaffolding.
Mm-hmm. But very nice of Fred to be like,
hey,
buddy. Wake up.
I don't want your company the rest of eternity.
But yeah, so that makes sense though that Fred would be, you know, the main ghost. He died in the theater and he worked there
for 40 years. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but it sounds a little bit like the director in a way where he's just kind of the overarching, you know,
presence,
right. Viewer of all things and
sure.
making his presence known.
Right.
But yes, The next one is the Phoenix Hill Tavern. Now, there's no reportings of why these hauntings are happening, but it's also classic restaurant ghost encounters. Staff have reported hearing the sound of someone walking down the stairs and footsteps traveling across the floor when nobody's there. There are also frequent cold spots, and staff have frequently noticed strange white flashes in the mirrors. Perhaps the most compelling reports of paranormal activity coming out of the Phoenix Hill Tavern is that objects regularly move by themselves or disappear completely.
Okay.
Yeah. So you hear this a lot with restaurants that are haunted. It's always, you know, like plates will go missing, glasses will get knocked off the shelves, or like, you know, if it's a ghost from the Prohibition era, oftentimes the alcohol will go missing or it will break or whatever. Things like that. This could just be the fact that it's a restaurant and people congregate there and it attracts spirits because it's like, oh, I want to be where all the energy is.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Or it could have been that the building at some point was something different, but there's just no clear indication with this particular haunting of why.
Maybe we get the night before Waverly. Yeah, the night before Waverly, we can go have a drink there.
Ooh, yeah. Or after Waverly, we go have breakfast there and drop our ghosts off at the Phoenix Hill Tavern.
That sounds about right.
Go have fun with them. Not here. Not with us.
Don't follow us home.
Don't follow us home. But yes, the last one and the thickest of them all is Old Louisville. And like I said at the beginning, y'all, we can literally do a whole episode, which we probably will.
Yeah. We said it enough. Yeah. We'll probably do a whole episode
on of just Old Louisville because it's thick. But like I said at the beginning, it's a historic district, and it was originally built. The district was built in 1870-ish. Now, the particular place we're going to talk about is the spirit of the Inn at the Park.
Okay.
And at the northwest corner of Park Avenue and 4th Street stands a stately brick residence with a lovely staircase that curves to the second floor. Today, it is a charming bed and breakfast known as the Inn at the Park, but overnight guests sometimes report that the steps are haunted. Another step ghost.
It might be the Louisville way.
It might just be. Late in the evening, the shadowy specter of a school marm type figure is often seen rushing up and down the stairs. They say it is the ghost of Annie Whipple. And here's the story of Annie Whipple. It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. It's very ghosty.
That's a ghost name, yes.
That's a ghost name.
The ghost of Annie Whipple.
But yes, so here's the story of Annie Whipple. So Annie Whipple was a mysterious widow who arrived from New England in the late 1800s after her husband, a whaling captain, was lost at sea.
This is how every H.P. Lovecraft story kind of starts.
Right? She became a live-in nanny at the Houston home, which is now the bed and breakfast, where she enjoyed a position of authority and respect. That is until the day she started to dabble in the black arts. She had been with the family for a couple of years when yellow fever struck the household.
Oh, wow.
She had helped nurse them back to health, but one of the children, a girl she had grown quite attached to, wasn't getting any better. The doctor finally said he couldn't do much more and told the family to prepare for her imminent death. Whipple refused to give up and stayed at the girl's bedside day and night. Other than use of cold compresses and weak tea to make the girl feel comfortable in her fits of delirium, there was little Whipple could do. She leafed through the local newspapers, catching up on the day's events as she kept watch at the girl's side. Often the reports consisted of stories about local mediums and updates from the spiritualist movement. Because if you're not familiar, the Victorians were morbid individuals, but also very into spiritual matters and stuff, which could aid to the reason why we see so many Victorian ghosts still to this day. But yes, there was a big boom in seances and things of that nature. So it would make sense that the newspaper was talking about all of this. But Whipple, by all accounts, didn't subscribe to such notions. One day, however, a story caught her eye and she read with interest about a local doctor known to cure not only bewitched people, but also patients with all sorts of ailments. When she read about his miraculous powers, Whipple immediately had the idea to contact him. The next day, she rushed down the stairs, hitched up the horse and buggy, and drove to see Dr. Anderson. But upon her arrival, she saw that the front doors of the doctor's house and adjacent practice were all decked out in black bunting. As fate would have it, Dr. Anderson himself had died just the day before, and Whipple was forced to return home without the help she was so desperately seeking. There, she resumed her post at the ailing girl's bedside in a room next to her own at the top of the stairs. As before, the nanny occupied herself with the newspaper between attempts to make the girl comfortable. But the next day, as Whipple read, she paid more attention to the spiritualist news.
Okay.
She read how many individuals believed they could commune with the dead and how respected scientists were reporting success in their attempts to correspond with the long departed. That's how she came up with the idea to contact the spirit of the recently departed Dr. Anderson in the hopes that he could still offer assistance, but from the other side of the grave. Under advisement from an old African woman who knew of such things and witchery, Whipple learned the secrets of seance and was given over to finding a cure for the dear girl's misery. The old woman in question was a former slave by the name of Josephine. Some reports say she was from Kentucky, others say she was from Louisiana, which might better explain her knowledge of voodoo.
Okay.
On a night when the moon was full and when frost tipped the breeze of cold, Whipple ran down the stairs and out the other side door to meet the old woman at the witch's tree. She explained to Josephine that she needed to contact the spirit of Dr. Anderson. Then she gave the old woman some money and listened to her instructions. Afterward, Whipple went home, rushed up the stairs to her room, and did as directed. If the story is to be believed, Whipple then engaged in an act referred to as automatic writing.
Oh.
Which sure. is still a practice that people use today. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of that. Automatic writing?
Yeah, you basically get a piece of paper and a pen, you put it down, and it's kind of the Ouija board motion, but you start to write out messages from the dead.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Also known as psychography. It is alleged psychic ability that enables an individual to produce written words that arise from the subconscious or a supernatural source. Many parapsychologists believe this can occur when spirits possess an individual and use the individual's own hand to write out the messages they want to deliver. Mm-hmm. In this case, Whipple sat at the table in her paneled room, lit a solitary candle, and gathered writing utensils and paper. She sprinkled over its surface a strange kind of powder given to her by the old woman, and then intoned a prayer, a summons to conjure up the spirit of Dr. Anderson. Mm-hmm. An eerie hush fell over the room, and although Whipple could see nothing, it seemed a presence hovered at her side. Right before her head slumped and a deep trance took over, she requested Dr. Anderson's advice on how to cure the sick girl. Barely aware, Whipple lifted her hand and dipped the pen in ink before scrawling something across the paper. When she came to and beheld the message, it seemed that a medical prescription had magically appeared before her.
Oh, wow.
Early the next morning, Annie Whipple ran to the nearby apothecary and had the prescription filled. Once home, she ran swiftly up the stairs and to the sick girl and administered the potion. As the nanny waited and as the minutes turned to hours, it became apparent that the medicine had not served its purpose. To the contrary, the girl's condition only worsened and she fell into a deep coma.
Mm.
The doctor was summoned and explained that the girl would surely expire by the coming down. This must have come as a terrible shock to the woman, who tried harder than anyone to save the poor girl. Whipple ran to the table in her room, lit the candle, and sprinkled the magic powder over another piece of writing paper before once again summoning ghostly assistance. As before, a hush came upon the room, and although entranced, the nanny remained aware of the surroundings, her limp hand seizing the pen as if to scrawl out a message, but instead of writing, her arm started flailing. And then her hand clutched the pen tightly and began to stab and slash at the wooden top of the desk.
Oh, boy.
Over and over again, some force caused her pen to mar and gouge the writing surface. And then it turned its fury on the paper and started tearing and ripping at the sheet. Soon, the paper was torn to shreds, but there remained one piece large enough upon which to scribble a quick message. When she awakened fully, Whipple was horrified to read the chilling words, "You fool, I am not Dr. Anderson."
Oh.
She fell to the floor in a heap, and they laid her on the bed, where she lay in fitful slumber until daybreak. When she finally came to, it was only for a moment, as fever racked her body with pain and restlessness. But it was enough time for the nanny to make a confession of the strange things that had transpired the night before. As it turns out, it was a kind of deathbed confession, because Whipple died by the time the sun came up.
Goodness.
Before she closed her eyes forever, though she was able to see one last happy sight, there by her bedside stood the girl Annie had been caring for. Mm. Flushed and glowing, the girl had finally recovered from her illness, perhaps because of the delayed effect of the cure her nanny had procured. Was Whipple's life forfeited in exchange for saving the young girl? Was it a cruel spirit from beyond who found a portal to this world and decided to wreak havoc on the person who opened the portal? Nobody can ever know, but since that day, legend holds that Annie Whipple's specter is fated to tread the lovely curved stairway in the mansion where the Houstons once lived and where she tutored and cared for their children.
Well, gracious.
So that is the story of Annie Whipple.
Wow. There you go.
Like I said, that area of Louisville has so many stories that are
is
that
there
long.
A witch's castle? In Louisville?
I'm pretty sure there is. Lots of notions of witches in the area. But yeah, I just love that story, though.
Yeah.
It's a good ghost story.
It's a good solid ghost story.
Solid ghost story.
With all the trappings. You know, yes. It's got everything you need to fill your ghost needs.
Exactly. It's got the voodoo. It's got the seance. Right. It's got the witchcraft and sure the do. Yellow fever. I love it. But yeah, so that's why I picked the story, because I think it's interesting. But I'm also just like, I wonder if somebody wrote it down after.
It has to be. I mean, they make a lot of presumptions about what Annie was thinking and what Annie, you know, because that's a lot of storytelling involved, because if you heard the story, it'd be like, oh, this woman thought she could talk to a ghost and get, you know, help.
Yeah.
So to put it in such terms and give you all of these, you know, because it's built like a story, which is the craft of telling a ghost story really is about involving your audience, involving the listener, making them understand what's at stake, making, you know, all of these things so that you have those ooh and ah moments. And so a lot of people get really down on ghost stories that seem to fill in a lot of blanks. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, ghost stories, that's what we do. We fill in blanks.
Right.
Because we weren't there. Nobody was there.
You know? Exactly.
Nobody was in the room with Annie. So even the concept of the hush falling over the room, who's to say that's what happened?
Sure.
You know, who's to say anything? But it creates that notion and that, you know, the telling. You know, you're listening. You're like, oh, I'm baited by this. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good solid. And again, Annie Whipple. You know,
what a name.
That's the name of a school marm. You know, you can see Annie Whipple with her bell. You know, calling the kids to class. So yeah, absolutely.
They're like, oh, that's just Annie Whipple.
Yeah.
She just pays.
Ms. Whipple.
I love it, though. And I'd stay at that bed and breakfast just because of the story.
Yeah, it's a good story. I'm sure it draws plenty of people to the bed and breakfast.
Exactly. So, but yes, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that chilling tale. Very, very H.P. Lovecraft for sure.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on, you know, dabbling in the dark arts and, you know, Whaler's wife.
A whaler's wife
going
from New
inland,
England.
Yeah, from New England.
So
wicked,
but yes. So hopefully you enjoyed, and we'll do a whole episode on Old Louisville and talk more about their fun ghost stories that they have in that area, including ghosts, Victorian era ghosts walking into people's homes.
Oh yeah, so yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But with that, y'all, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy,
and stay spooky, y'all.